When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Interrupt this program to bring you a special report.
Hey everybody, welcome to another edition of Wrestling Remembered, kind of a last-minute Wrestling Remembered.
I'm going to turn that down.
Looks like we have some outside interference already by the president of Thursday Night Films,
etc. That's me. There we go. I love your voice so much, Joe, I have to hear it twice.
Oh, there you go. It's like two times better than one.
So yeah, Wrestling Remembered, kind of a last minute. We had a kid, I guess Dylan Hines was going to be coming on the Monty and the Pharaoh show. They're going to have a special show tonight, which I was going to produce, but they ended up canceling that. So Mike asked us to throw Wrestling Remembered back up there. So I did that. And with me, as always, my esteemed colleagues from the now defunct Da 30 show, the Thursday Night Delight. He is the my brother from another mother, the poet laureate, the player, Benny, welcome.
Always a pleasure to be here.
And how's the little one feeling? I see he's
going to be, you know, like I said, she's you know, her surgery was Monday, but she's a quick healer. I mean, if you didn't see this and you didn't see the little scar on her belly, you'd never know she was fixed.
She's there, you go.
Her usual feisty self.
And did you remortgage the house to pay for the surgery?
I had to actually turn some tricks.
Yeah,
but, you know, you do what you got to do.
You are the player, man. That's
right. Yeah.
Rally.
And of course, we got to welcome the president of Thursday Night, the man whose volume was always up high on his computer. Mr. Phil Desiree. Phil, welcome, brother.
TGIPH. Thank goodness it's Phil. No, wait a minute. TGIF. Thank goodness it's Friday. And I love these trips down memory lane. And sometimes we do a little future seeing. And so maybe we'll be doing a little bit of future seeing tonight too, Joe. Yeah.
There you go. So we're going to kind of do a little open forum here. We didn't really have a set thing. I know I put out there the end of the PG era. In case you have not heard, the WWE is no longer putting that PG in all their media releases and so forth and all their stuff that goes to the network. So the PG era is officially done with the WWE. What that means probably has a lot more to do with them moving to Netflix more than anything. So whether or not we go back to TNA, Blood and Guts and all that stuff remains to be seen, you know, so we don't know what's going to happen there. But a bit of last second breaking news, in case anybody doesn't know that, WWE President Nick Khan has submitted paperwork to sell his entire stake of 234,424 shares of TKO stock. This just came out by Sportico. This actually follows the news that co-founder Vince McMahon has now totally severed ties with the WWE by making his 8.2 million shares of TKO stock for sale as well. Another Friday night news dump is what they call in the biz here. So what do you guys make of that? Nick, Vince, we kind of know was already on the outs. But what about Nick Khan? This is Play. You got any thoughts on that one?
No, I mean, not a bit of surprise, total surprise, but maybe he's going grocery shopping. He needed some spare cash. I mean, that's a lot of – I mean, what does that equate to in dollars?
It's probably a couple of hundred million, I would assume, with that type.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, it depends on – I think the shares were I think they were closing out at $96 and change as of today. So I know Vince McMahon's shares are totaling $776 million, and he's got 8.2 million shares. So, yeah, you're probably looking at like $100 million or so, hundred million for Nick Khan. But, you know, crazy. What do you think, Phil? Is this the end of Nick Khan in the WWE? What do you think?
Well, you know, as we speculated and as I mentioned before we went on air, maybe he's going to make the jump to AEW and join the other cons, and I said form the conglomerate, perhaps. Wouldn't that be a wrestling story?
It's a conspiracy.
I think so many cons in that room, you're going to end up constipated.
What's your con about that?
I only wish Killer Khan were still around.
Right. You want to jump over to the other news of the day? How about this last night? Tony Khan, AEW, in the draft room, doing his best kayfabe there, huh? What do you think? Neck brace and all, next to head coach Doug Peterson, in front of his father, Saad. What do you think? What do you guys think of that?
Well, I can only hearken back to a classic Brady Bunch episode. There was a case where Carol had a little car accident, and there was a guy trying to scam them out of some money, blaming it on her, and he came in the neck brace.
Yep.
And the ever-resourceful Mike Brady took his briefcase and dropped it on the floor, and the man in the the scammer in the neck brace shot his head over real quick, and they busted him, and it was just a great man. I'm just glad no one dropped any briefcases. I would have hated to have seen Tony Khan blow the cover there, but I think it's good he's carrying this. Again, it's not Kaufman-like efforts, but it's pretty darn good, so I applaud that, actually. So if he can continue to do this for a little bit, all the better.
Right. Looks like Chuck Viola chimed in and said, very shocked to hear about Nick Khan leaving. It will be interesting to see who TKO brings in to fill this role. Possibly Stephanie McMahon? What do you think? You think there'll be another McMahon? Well, will she change her name legally to Levesque? What do you think?
That's really interesting. Well, we know there's a lot of tension between Triple H and Vince, and dare I say probably Vince and a lot of the staff at a certain point. So, you know, so the idea that she is going to be like proxy for him is probably not true. But I don't know. Who's out there who might fill that void? That's a very good – could it be a group of people? I don't know.
You know, this is literally within the last hour this has taken place. So I'm sure the dirt sheets are trying to find all the dirt they can, no pun intended.
Yeah.
What's going on. But, you know, this does coincide with it's getting close to May 14th. As we know, the Janelle Grant lawsuit, all the motions and everything need to be filed by then. So is this part of it? Is the investigation with Vince McMahon now closed and they found something? I mean, you got to start wondering, you know, are these the guys that are going to be let go because of this? And, you know, we've heard the rumblings out there that once WrestleMania was over and TKO was fully in charge and no more Vince McMahon, they might just get rid of anybody that's related to the McMahons business-wise. I'm not going to say Triple H or Stephanie, but they could be on the chopping block as well. Who knows? But again, you have the draft going on tonight on SmackDown, kicks off the draft, and then you get this news dumped on you an hour before showtime. You know, you got to wonder what's going on.
Yeah. It's maybe it's a little unsettling. I don't know. Maybe he's privy to something that no one else is. You know, he's got that inside track on a lot of things going on. So I don't know.
Right. We also heard, I think, was it Bruce was talking last night, or Dan, that the U.S. government is now, or Congress or somebody, is taking up the way it's worded for people that are hired. What is the word I'm looking for? Independent
contractor.
Yeah. And I've also found out, I read somewhere today, that they're looking to get rid of those 90-day compete clauses. Either you get a severance up front instead of getting paid for 90 days, or you just, that's it. You sever ties with the company, and then you're free to go wherever you want. So I think that's all part of the legislation with that, of trying to revamp the independent contractor status, which would include wrestling companies like AEW and WWE. So there's a lot going on right now all of a sudden when you think about it. Like, this is – I'm trying to wrap my head around the Nick Khan thing, because I thought for sure he'd be the one that would probably manage to escape – unscathed with all this.
You know,
go ahead.
I just think this is a bit of a congressional overreach, honestly, you know, and yeah. As Roger Clemens famously said during the steroid trials of the late 90s, you know, Congress should tend to the skeletons in their own closet, you know.
Gotta keep plenty busy, right?
Yeah, that absolutely would. They'd have no time to snoop yeah. around, man, you know.
Yeah, it's absolutely crazy. I just, what I'm trying to figure out is why everything happens on a Friday. Why doesn't it happen like on a Monday or a Tuesday or things like that? Like, it just seems like Friday, they tried to shove this under the rug.
Well, that's done in the news cycle, Joe. You know, the stuff yeah. that they don't want to. And they're hoping everyone gets drunk over the weekend and forgets. But I don't think that's going to happen. Well, primarily because I don't drink.
I know everybody's going to be listening to us and watching the SmackDown draft. Jay Will has a great... Go ahead. I'm sorry,
Ben. Yeah, I was going to say, J.A. Will has a great comment, which was Robert Reed has a great afro. I guess I want to ask the chat room a question, though. Who had a better afro, Robert Reed or Bruno?
Oh, Bruno. Well,
Bruno's was enhanced, as we know.
Yeah.
I don't know if Robert Reed's might have been. I don't know.
I think Bruno's was a fake fro. I think Robert Reed's was
I think
genuine.
That was just a sign of the times. Everybody yeah. was the pro with the fro back then. So
Harley had a good fro, too, back in the
Harley
day.
Harley had a really Harley good fro, yes. And yep, that had to be real.
Oh, yeah.
Yep, Harley definitely had a good afro at one point. That was kind of neat.
Yeah, he might have gotten a perm at one point, too, I think.
A perm, that's right.
You remember those smelly things? You remember, of course, anyone who's a child or anyone in the... grew up in the 70s or even in the early 80s, of course. You know, if you've ever been to someone's home or in a sure. salon, if you were forced, and just the smell of those noxious chemicals. Oh, that was
my
worst.
God. That's yeah. right. Aquanet Central, baby.
Oh, Revia hair. Yeah.
Yeah. Revia here. Revia and your PBR talls. I get you. Yep. So Tony Khan, again, kind of made some news today. He appeared on the NFL Network's pre-draft show. Of course, it's pre-draft every day now with the draft going on. But he went on to call the WWE is the Harvey Weinstein of pro wrestling.
Oh, come on.
What do you guys think of that? What do you guys think of that statement?
I think in the Webster Picture Dictionary under the word tool, you're going to see a picture of Tony Khan with that neck brace.
Yeah. What do you think, Phil? Was that a justified comment? Is he trying to just stir it up with his brand after like getting no ratings? Third worst ratings in AEW history, and he took a bump for it and everything.
Well, you know, as Mr. Khan did say, the real fight now is intercompany. It's between these two organizations. I mean, that's where, you know, everything does now, I think, going to spin off from this conflict. And anytime he can lob something over there, and then if they yeah. can do the same thing, you know, both companies reach each other's audience. And
Exactly.
I kind of like it.
Shout out to the chat. I know we kind of scheduled this last minute. I greatly appreciate Ja Will, Jason, RJ, everybody. Looks like the Playmates in the house as well. Thank you so much for all tuning in. Greatly appreciate it. Little Patty. Welcome, everybody. I know it was last minute due to the Mike show got canceled kind of last minute with Dylan Hines and so forth. Not really sure what happened, so. I was supposed to produce that, but instead he opted to go ahead and let us do this show. So I figured why not put something on for everybody.
Hold on, man.
And the timing couldn't have been better with this Nick Khan. In case you're joining us, Nick Khan has filed whatever the paperwork is to sell his remaining shares with TKO, which pretty much the end of his career in the WWE is right there.
Let me ask you guys a question. Pure speculation on my part. Do you sure. think one of you guys mentioned you think maybe he knows something? I mean, once Vince gets indicted by the feds, do you think the stock price goes down? And do you think he's anticipating that?
Money's always a motivating factor in this situation. Yeah. Unfortunately, like us, when the press gets it, the news is already broken. So whatever's coming down the pike, I think both sides know. WWE side knows. Janelle Grant's side knows. Everybody knows what's happening. If this is a thing of a sign of things to come with Nick Khan, just all of a sudden on a Friday on the eve or hours away from being, you know, at the SmackDown draft. I'm not sure if he's even backstage tonight or not. I'm not sure. But it's kind of shocking. This might send a little hysteria through the WWE locker room at a time where they don't need it. Don't forget, we went through this with the Janelle Grant stuff, WrestleMania week. You know, we kicked off WrestleMania week with some motions back and forth and some he said, she said stuff. I mean, even going back to when Janelle Grant filed her lawsuit, it just happened to be the day after that TKO and WWE solidified their deal with Netflix and all that stuff. So, you know, it just seems like whatever the timing's been very, very suspect with all this. So with Nick Khan selling his shares, I mean, I don't know what happens here. Part of me also feels like he is somewhat responsible for getting them to Netflix and so forth. He had a great piece in Sports Illustrated last month. I did not know he was a sports attorney. He was an agent.
Okay.
Before he came to WWE. So he knew about all that stuff. So he knows how to negotiate licensing deals for networks and all this stuff. Maybe this is just a thing with him that he was just allowed to get them to Netflix and, you know, due diligence and that's it. And you get to cash out your stock when you're done. All that. We don't know. Yeah. We might even know by an hour from now. I'm sure the news literally just hit before we came on the air that he sold his stock, that he's planning on selling his stock. So
it's
when you do that.
It is huge, though. Yeah, it's very, very, very surprising. And it, you know, makes you wonder, but it does, like you said, Joe, make you worry about the wrestling landscape.
Yeah. Joe wants to put up capital gains taxes up to 44%. A nice way to discourage investment. No. I don't want to do that, Joe Will. Come on now. But, yeah, Joe Will's nine worst words. We're from the government. We're here to help.
Ah, to help, yes.
Ronald Reagan said that, didn't he?
Yes, he did. Howie Carr loves that one, too.
So let's try and get back to the topic at hand. WWE, the PG era is over. There it is, my cute little graphic. I got to play my arts and crafts today, so there you go. You know, what does this mean? Does this coincide with the fact that they're going to Netflix? It also is, you know, we're forgetting as well that NXT now is heading towards the WB as well. So, and then SmackDown will then go to USA. You know, I would assume this makes a logical sense with the streaming platform Netflix that, you know, the swears are going to come back, more risque content, so to speak. But this is a big deal. I think, what's it been, almost 15 years now that they've had this PG moniker on them? Where they, you know, no swearing, no blood, no sexual references and, you know, undertones and things like that. What do you guys think is going to happen next?
Well,
what do you think? Anybody, Phil?
Yeah, I think it's somewhat a reflection of the jump to streaming. But I also think it's something that AEW started doing a little while ago, you know. Certainly the women, the violent matches, the hardcore matches, a lot of blood, as we know. Moxley went through that period of time with lots of blood, lots of ECW-styled violence. And again, when it comes to the promos, we don't have to look any further than Toni Storm and her new catchphrase gimmick.
Yep.
You know, first time I heard that, I pinched myself. I said, did she say that? I felt like Booker T, you know?
Yeah, I
did
hear you.
Did she really say that? And now it's. I mean, I don't know if it's on a T-shirt yet, but I'm sure it's soon going to be.
Oh, it's on a T-shirt. It's on everything.
I'm sure, yeah. And so they really started to push the envelope. And I think they're the ones who really have changed. Because if WWE doesn't follow suit, AEW will have an advantage in that regard, you know, as something different for a group of people who are attracted to that.
Now, call me crazy, but does this sound like coincidence, even though I don't believe in coincidences, that Triple H is from that Attitude Era, and now he's running the show there, and now we're slowly coming back into that. I know it's the Triple H era, Paul Levesque era, whatever you want to call it, but are we going to get more racy storyline or, you know, my first thing is the blood thing. You know, looking at Moxley bleed out every week on AEW has been insane. Sky Blue recently had a match where she got busted open. They showed it, no problem. So do you think they're just trying to cater to the fan now that, hey, you get hit in the head with a chair or a table or something like that. Would you, you know, get cut open?
But does it really have the impact that it used to? Because, you know, as a kid and even as an adult, when I watched, you know, color meant something, you know, even after I knew what wrestling was all about. Does it really mean anything anymore?
Yeah. I mean, I for one, I just hate watching steel cage matches. I think the other night, 2 weeks ago, Carmelo Hayes and Trick Williams went at it in the cage on NXT, and they were both beating the crap out of each other by throwing themselves into the cage. God, I went to a cage match. Roddy Piper took one shot off the cage. And he bled out. But here, these two guys are going back and forth for 20 minutes and 1 ounce of blood. I think that tells a story when you do it like that. Do you get cut open every weekend? No, I wouldn't say, you know, color means money. Color usually represents
red means green.
Yeah, red means green. Usually represents some type of feud, like, oh, look what he did to me. He cut me open. I'm going to pay with his blood. You know, things are like that. To go out there and get cut open randomly is just, I don't know. I think we're past that now. I think we're smarter than that. I think most fans are smarter than that. You know,
I think John Moxley gets color when he goes out to get his mail. I mean, that's just.
Well, he's been cutting himself wide open. Now every time he gets hit in the head, boom, right. He ends up kind of, whether he likes it or not, he gets cut open. And I don't know. I just think, you know, with the PG era, is it going to be PG-13 now? Is it going to be, you know, I mean.
We're certainly not going to go back to the G rating of the early to mid 90s with all these cartoon-esque characters, you know. I mean, I think that's long gone. And yeah. and despite that, there's still going to be a place for humor too, I think. And a little bit of humor is really good. A balance, a little bit, absolutely.
No, I hear you there. And of course, the never-ending table bumps, all that stuff. I mean, I see like people like Sami Zayn, Gunther, their backs and chests get totally brutalized to the point where they're cut open. So we've seen blood on that respect, but just not on the head type region and so forth. I mean, I wonder if the chair shots come back. What do you guys think about that?
You think I would say probably now that I would not be surprised to see. While you were saying that, though, what I was thinking is, do we see the eye candy again? Do we see the you know, lingerie matches and the, you know, the pillow fights and, you know,
jello mud wrestling. Yeah.
See that kind of stuff again.
I don't know if we will, though. I mean, I think the women are much more talented than that now. They don't have to sell their assets, so to speak, like that. I think when they get in the ring, I mean, for the most part, like a Toni Storm, even part of me says Mercedes Moné, they can wrestle. They've come up with a wrestling background and so forth.
Right. No, I was thinking more like they would have women specifically who really weren't. I mean, that was their job.
You mean
they
have like Playboy models come in?
Keep them wrestling.
Right. I get what you're saying. Now, hire women just for that type of thing.
Right. Yeah. Have like a jello division or something like that.
You never know. You never know. I mean, look, I mean, you go back to the Sable era and all that. She started out as a Johnny B. Bad's, what do you call
LA.
It? LA, and then next thing you know, she's wrestling and she's a Divas champion. It's like, whoa, how'd that happen?
What was Stacey Keibler, Miss Hancock in WCW?
Yeah. I love how they changed their names. Unbelievable how they changed their names.
I've got two words and five syllables for you. Wardrobe malfunction.
Oh, there you go. There you
go. I think we're going to be seeing that again, you know?
Well, it depends if it's done right. I mean, towards the end of the Attitude Era, it was just so expected. And it was just like, okay, you know. And don't forget, going back to, you know, I was taking my son. He was young. Don't forget, the participants in the audience, they took advantage of that, too. I remember Triple H and DX and all that telling women to raise up their shirts and all that stuff. And they were And, you know, they were blurbing them out on TV. But I don't think we'll get to that point again. But, you know. You know, it seems like it's a generational thing, right? So, you know, what's old is new again.
I don't know if they'll get to that point with the audience. You know, as we remember, I don't know if you remember back in the late 90s, WAAF 107.3.
Oh, yeah. 107.3.
They had something called WOW, Whip 'em Out Wednesday, and it was just
Obi
as
and Anthony?
The games.
Was that
Obi yeah, and yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And they were encouraging motorists and, you know, just people on the street to do it. And,
that was like pre-internet days, right?
Wasn't yeah, the internet was fledgling at that point.
Right.
But, yeah.
It was more photos. Photos would come into the stations and all that.
Yeah, stuff. Yeah.
And they'd have. I think they actually had a website dedicated to that.
They might have, and I think they might have even awarded prizes for that sort of behavior. But I don't know that culturally. I don't know now in society that that we'll get back to that part of it. I don't think the fans will participate, but I do think the competitors might have an accident on rare occasion just to keep.
Yeah, you know? Not sure. I'm not sure what the deal is with that. So
I have one thing that I'm really, truly hoping for, and it's for selfish reasons. And that is, well, I write for Pro Wrestling Stories. I think I have 33 published stories. My number one read story is about Katie Vick with 190,000 views.
Oh, so
I'm kind of hoping that maybe they do the daughter, you know, Katie Vick, right before she passed away, she had a daughter and she's, 21 now. And they do the Sadie Vick. And then I can have another 190,000.
Oh my God. I know. Jason Moaning says people are getting sick of snowflakes. I'm pretty sure the outrage would only be from the whining minority. Yeah. I don't know. Well, I mean, you got to wonder too. Another thing I was trying to figure out with Netflix, with WWE going to Netflix, what if you are a paid subscriber that you don't want the commercials? What happens then? Will they continue? Do they just stay on the match during the commercial? That's the stuff I was trying to figure out with this Netflix deal, because it's so brand new. They still don't know how they're going to do it. And this year is going to fly by. Trust me. We're almost halfway through the year. And it's going to fly by, and they're going to go on Netflix, just like Peacock. I know they do it. If you're a paid subscriber, you're going to get additional content and all that. Like, what happens with Netflix? Will they just go commercial free to that effect? I don't know. What do you guys think of that?
No idea.
No idea.
You need some kind of break in the action. Well, maybe the advertising will continue to take different forms now that we have the center ring, and Prime right there, and, the turnbuckles and everything. I think we're going to see, it's going to look like a ballpark eventually, I think, with the advertisement everywhere constantly,
Exactly.
Too bad, but I think that's kind of how it's going to go.
Yep, I hear you there. I just, so many questions in the air. I'm really kind of backtracking on this Nick Khan thing now with him getting ready to sell his shares, which pretty much ends his time, his tenure with the WWE. I got so many things moving in my brain. I can probably say it, but, I do hope it's a case of the fact that, he was hired to get them to Netflix and to get the best price possible for that. Part of me feels like that, but another part of me feels like it's not. Part of me feels like this is going to come back and Nick Khan's going to be named somewhere. He's already been named as one of the four corporate entities, along with Stephanie McMahon and two others, Brian Bloom, I think it was the other one too, that is named in the lawsuit. So, maybe he sees maybe he got news wind of something that feds found something in Vince McMahon. Whether it was knowingly, unknowingly, unwittingly, whatever, and he just saw fit that he's got now has to take the steps to separate himself with the company. So we don't know. We're not going to know much until we find out. And usually, when we find out, they already know what's already going on, what's already happening. So
what happens if McMahon gets federally indicted? Does the other lawsuit, I guess, it just stops for now?
Because that's a civil case. I don't think that's criminal. If he gets indicted based on what was found in the civil suit, because it's all about the NDA and all that stuff, if they find that it was criminal wrongdoing within that, that's a whole separate entity, I think. But 99% of these lawsuits are settled out of court. So they wouldn't, that could probably just go away on its own. But if he gets indicted by a federal grand jury over this, for sex trafficking or whatever you call it, whatever it is that they find, if they find anything, then we'll know, we'll know what's coming up. We'll, all these little moving parts will start to come into play. Like, oh, that's why Nick Khan left, or that's why so-and-so left. And then of course we have the timing of the, right before the draft, they let go, what, 5 superstars this week. Cameron Grimes was one. He took to,
Mahal, right.
Mahal in this year. Zion Lee. It's like this company, I did my rant on that the other day with Bill Apter's newsletter, and my rant was basically, if this is a Triple H era and everything is, the grass is green and everything's rosy and you're making money and all that, why the need to cut back on the talent? Because that injury bug will soon come around. Will you need them in reserve?
Right.
You know what I mean? It's just like, how deep is your bench? Is basically what it comes down to. And, they may need these guys at some point down the line, but not now, obviously. But And now Cameron Grimes is coming out saying that he was just told days ago that he would always have a job with the WWE. That sounds like a kiss of death there. So,
and yet, Paul Ellering still on the payroll for doing absolutely nothing.
Yeah, I know. Really, I hear you there.
And he was such a good talker back in the day.
Was. I enjoyed his promo back in the day.
Yeah.
He was.
Very smart guy.
All right, so I'm going to take a quick break here, pay some bills. We'll be right back, all right?
All right.
Thanks for watching Wrestling Remembered.
The Monty and the Pharaoh Show is brought to you by... Because wine is your second favorite four-letter word. California wine, New York attitude. Good fucking wine. Yeah.
For years, we were known as Central Veterinary Associates. And we know that some of you were not exactly thrilled with the services that were provided.
But a new day has arrived. We're changing and will now be known as Premier Veterinary Medical Group.
But it's much more than a name change. It's a new management team, a new attitude, with a new state-of-the-art modern facility in Rockville Center, New York.
We're going all out to provide the best possible care for your pets. And that includes 24-hour day, 7-day-a-week emergency care from a team of highly trained professional emergency care veterinarians.
So check out the all-new Premier Veterinary Medical Group. We're ready to serve Nassau and Queens counties with compassion, commitment, and the utmost confidence.
And we have immediate openings for overnight emergency vets with great pay and outstanding benefits. Contact us today at premierveterinarymedicalgroup.com/careers.
Tired of that same old breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Same old tasting scrambled eggs, burger, that dinner steak, ribs, or pork chops? Why not add a little bit of spice or just a touch of heat to make the difference? Change that scrambled egg with a little bit of Johnny Fabulous's John Cena Sr.'s Million Dollar Jalapeno Hot Sauce. Great on burgers, steaks, chops, and those barbecued ribs.
Looking to improve your fitness business while keeping your bottom line in good shape? Let the gym administrator help you achieve those goals. With their powerful team of fitness industry professionals at the ready, the Gym Administrator covers a wide range of industry-related products and services that will help you build your business and increase profits. The Gym Administrator works with reliable industry suppliers and vendors that place a heavy emphasis on service, just the way you remember it. Give them a call at 914-494-1066 or visit them on the web at thegymadministrator.com as well as all social media platforms. The Gym Administrator. All your fitness needs under one roof. Scan the barcode at the bottom of the screen to get started today.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Wrestling Remembered. The hybrid version, I guess you would say. Thank you all for joining us. Thank you to the chat for joining us. And I'm joined by the player, the Thursday Night Delight, and the president of Thursday Night, Phil DeCesare. Let's talk about Thursday nights. They are going to change on Monty and the Pharaoh. What do you guys think? New game show coming up.
I'm looking forward to that big time.
We gotta come up with a name for this bad boy too, right?
I told you the name I like. I won't let that out of the bag yet.
Right here. I mean, we have and even some of the folks in the chat room contributed some suggestions. Got a lot of names to choose from.
Yeah.
And welcome Maria Davis to the chat. Welcome back. Maria, fresh off her bionic knee surgery. She's feeling better. She gave me some good news today, and she's able to get back behind the wheel of an automobile. How about that?
All right.
I shall stay off the sidewalks. That is for sure. I'm just kidding. So real quickly, Pittsburgh. I know I did this story a couple of months ago on my What a Day, but did you know that this Sunday is, get ready, folks, that's right, the Balls Out Naked Bowling event taking place 4 to 7 p.m. at the Crafton Ingram Lanes. I went on their site today and so forth. It is sold out. Imagine that. Over 700 tickets there. Real quickly, yes, they do bowl in the nude. It's sponsored by the Pittsburgh Naturist Society, where they seem to do everything, even play chess in the nude, if you're into that. But bowling is a big thing over there. This isn't actually the only one place that does it. I found out this happens nationwide, these bowling events. But $25 a ticket, 700 tickets sold. They made a couple of bucks. What do you guys think of that?
It's pretty creative, but I tell you one thing, man. You know, you're going to have to worry about more than your fingers and hands on the ball return now. You know, you better be, don't lean over.
I tell you what, it lends new meaning to the term double wood.
Yeah, oh, there you go. Yeah. 7-10 split all the way.
We can go on.
I get it. But yeah, I was just amazed that when I did that, it was like a month and a half ago. And I'm like, oh, it'd be interesting to see how they do. And lo and behold, it's this Sunday. I couldn't believe how quickly it chimed up to us. So Maria Davis is asking, did Nick Khan leave? Maria, just joining us. What happened was, as we went on the air, he filed paperwork to sell his remaining shares of the WWE, which in a sense pretty much means that he will be leaving the WWE. We're not sure why. This is a Friday night news dump, as Phil likes to call it. He's in the biz, right? Phil's in the biz. Does that. So the night of the draft, the SmackDown draft, Nick Khan, not sure if he's even there or not. I've been scouring the news organizations to see if he's even there or not. I know a lot of bigwigs are at the draft tonight. I do believe there's some TKO board members, not The Rock per se, but there are people in attendance backstage that are watching this draft unfold. Because think about it, this draft has implications for the coming year. And we've talked about it before, the end of the PG era, the transition over to Netflix, NXT going to CW. I think NXT is going to be a big player in this tonight, too. I think you can see a lot of NXT wrestlers finally make their way up to the main roster, because they got to get the new guys, the next in line candidates, to get their time on NXT. So how big of a – Phil, answer me that. How big of a night will NXT have tonight with the draft?
You know – pretty good. I mean, can we foresee a situation? First of all, it's not, I mean, it's a feeder system in some way to the Monday and Thursday night, you know, it is in a sense, but you know, it's also a nice place to showcase stars, bring them down and get them to work with younger talent. So maybe we'll see a few of the bigger names head down that way to kind of enrich the product, kind of help bring some of that talent up to level too. And it's a great way to circulate some people too. So, you know, it's not all about the exodus from there up to, you know, the red and blue brands. It's really, I think, it's a kind of a balancing act, and it's going to create a lot of great matchups. And the one thing I think we might see, the whisperings have been about Brock Lesnar returning. Yes. And this would be quite a night for him to come in at the end and say, what about me? You know,
yeah,
what about Brock?
What about Brock? There you go. Yeah, that'd be a great curveball. You think they'd go on? He'd go to SmackDown at this point, because I think he was a Raw candidate there for a while. I think he was on Raw.
Imagine if he went to NXT.
Oh, NXT. Okay.
I don't know that he could help bring up any talent, because he'd be squashing everybody.
My thing with NXT, they carried WWE during COVID. If you remember, Charlotte went down there. Beat Rhea Ripley for the strap or whatever and all that. And I thought it was weird that a lot of these wrestlers were going down there. Like, it's almost like a badge of honor now to win a world title up on SmackDown or Raw, then to go back down there and win a title back down there.
Yeah.
Which is good for business. I mean, it gets butts in seats and so forth like that. But yeah, I mean, I never liked the fact that, oh, these are the up and comers and so forth. Look, they're getting great TV time. The ratings aren't the greatest. They're on Tuesday nights and so forth. You're sandwiched between Raw and AEW. But you do have your constant 600,675 every week viewership on that. So they're getting the exposure. And like they say, they're getting their reps.
Yeah.
So I think it'll be a big night for the for NXT for both tonight on SmackDown. And of course, don't forget, day two of the Raw on Raw. Day two of the draft is Monday night. So.
Right.
We didn't get the big surprises tonight. Might get them on Monday night. So who knows?
Totally.
Who knows? But yeah. So yeah, Maria, just to let you fill you in, as you just joined us, Nick Khan has indeed filed paperwork to sell his shares, all his remaining shares. And this is fresh off the news earlier this week that Vince has now filed his paperwork to sell the rest of his shares. So once his shares are gone, Vince McMahon will not be on paper associated with WWE/TKO. We're going to have our, you know, not that we're not enduring it now, but we're already starting to have life without Vince McMahon in pro wrestling. Benny, what are your thoughts on that? That's going to be, you're the elder statesman here. Vince McMahon in pro wrestling.
It's funny because, you know, I became a fan in 1968, And in 1969, I actually wrote a letter to Vince McMahon Sr. I actually wrote a letter, and I complained about all the uneven matches on TV. You know, you had every week Chuck Richards and who else? Carlos Colon actually was an enhancement talent back then in the late 60s. And Miguel Feliciano, Lee Wong, Lenny Solomon, all those guys.
Lee Wong, yeah.
Lee Wong.
Or Ecuador, I guess, he kind of traveled back and forth. Yeah. But, for my almost 60 years as a wrestling fan, it's always been associated with the McMahon. It's going to be very strange to not have that anymore.
Totally, totally. Yeah, I mean, we're going to wax nostalgic for them for a long time, you know.
Sure.
You mentioned Chuck Richards, Popeye Chuck Richards.
He, Carteret, I believe, New Jersey.
Pardon?
He was from Carteret, New Jersey.
He is also, I believe, the uncle of, do you know who?
No.
Chris Candido.
Chris Candido, wow.
Really?
The late Chris Candido. Yeah. So they're kin. Wow. Maybe uncle or it's, you know, granduncle, uncle, some kind of. But just then, yeah.
Hey guys, I got a surprise for you. Someone's chiming in backstage. Looks like he's ready to come on here. Let's welcome to Wrestling Remembered. Since the show was put together last minute, I kind of did my best to get a last minute guest on. So let's all welcome to the stage, Mr. Justin Race.
All right.
Hey. Welcome, man.
I thought I was calling a restaurant. My pizza delivery is late, but I guess I called you.
I don't know.
You can hang with us until the pizza comes, Justin.
Sure.
Justin, thank you so much for joining. You couldn't stay away, could you? You just had to come back on and say hi to the gang.
We kind of grow on people like a lot.
What a day.
What a day.
Always what a day.
Your mom was a big hit on the show the other night.
She's a rock star.
Yeah.
She's great. She's funny. Between her and my dad, it was nonstop laughter.
Oh, yeah. Can only imagine.
That's
how's the weather where you are right now?
Raining.
Is it raining?
Been wild, actually. It's Kansas. It was raining a while ago. Now it's sunny, I think.
Yeah, that's what we got here in Iowa, too. We've had some crazy thunder and lightning most of the day. And just missing the tornadoes. You're not getting any tornadoes down there, are you?
Out in western Kansas, I think they did.
Okay.
But not around here.
Nice.
It's just spring. Okay. I mean, we might get a hurricane next week. Who knows?
No
so we were talking about afros and pro wrestling earlier. Bruno Sammartino.
You know where that's going, right?
Yeah. I've got the pick to prove it.
What did you think of your dad's afro? What did you think of Harley's afro?
I mean, I guess I didn't really think a whole lot of it, except that with that pick, he was just constantly. My mom actually thought it took him that long to get dressed to go on to the to go out to the car and stuff after the matches. Sure. But he was just in there goofing with his hair. And after a while, I figured out he was goofing with his hair to wait, like to take time up so the fans would go away. So there wouldn't be such a crowd when we walked out.
Oh my God.
But yeah, he'd sit there with that pick and he'd pop it over here.
I remember seeing him in the wrestling magazines, and his beard matched his afro.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that was kind of neat. I'm like, wow, how does he do that?
We were at the pool at the country club one time. He's in there, and he was like the jungle gym type plate. You know, everyone's climbing all over him. He's throwing all the kids all over the pool. And this little girl looked up at him. He had the beard, and she said, "You look just like a lion."
Nice.
Yeah, he was the wrestling lion, that is for sure. He was the wrestling lion.
Yeah, he was.
So I don't know if you heard, Justin. I'm not sure how – do you keep up with the WWE at all?
Oh, here and there.
Well, Nick Khan, the president of WWE, just right before we came on the air, has agreed, filed paperwork to sell his shares remaining in TKO Sports, which – means the Nick Khan era as of Friday night may be over. This is kind of a big deal right before the SmackDown draft takes place. This literally happened right before we came on the air. I got a bunch of texts.
No, I hadn't heard that. That's a pretty big deal there.
Yeah, it's a big deal.
Yeah, they are.
Right. So we don't know what's going to happen. I mean, we don't know if there's been information that hasn't not reached us yet. As opposed to whatever the lawsuits have been going on.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're always the last to find out. We're the last to find out, and usually they already know what's going on. So it's going to be interesting to see. We just had a buddy of mine, Chuck, chimed in and says, "If who's going to replace him?" And somebody said Stephanie McMahon might come back into the fold. Who knows? Crazy thing that happened. I don't know.
Disco Inferno would be my choice.
You know, I kind of lost interest in the WWE. I think it was F then. No. But whatever. You know, they have all these themes going over and over and these storylines like a soap opera. Okay. And I can't remember if it was around 9/11 or when it was, but all they one of their little storylines was that she got kidnapped by terrorists. She was a hostage.
Oh, geez.
Yeah. Terrorists.
Yeah, that's
kind of true. I was just like, oh, come on now.
Yeah. Yeah. That's, I think Stephanie, that might have been during my, because my kids got involved in sports then. So I think that was kind of my, I'll catch up on Raw when I can type moments, but I didn't watch it religiously like I do now. So
I have to do something real quick. Can I step back with you guys in a minute?
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah, go right ahead. Do your thing, man.
All right, thanks. I'll be right back.
Bring some pizza.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, the pizza man.
I'm hungry.
Yeah. So Maria, I wonder what his dad thought of The Undertaker. He must have respected The Undertaker, you know? I'd be curious to hear if Justin knows that, anything about that.
Yeah, that'd be kind of neat.
Yeah.
Maria wants to know, where am I? Maria, where'd you go? What is Nick going to do? Maybe he will go to WCW? WOW. Is she being funny?
Probably.
Maria being funny?
I think so.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Well, and then Joe Will says, I pass by the former bowling alley of Paul Onuf when I go to the gym each morning. I forgot that he owned a bowling alley.
Fayetteville, Georgia is where it was.
Where was it at?
Fayetteville, Georgia.
Oh, really?
Okay. Atlanta.
Now, he was a Tampa guy, right? Paul Ohndorf, was he?
Brandon, which is right outside of Tampa.
Yeah, Bradenton, yeah.
That's the right. Brandon Bowl.
The Brandon Bowl, right? Went to the University of Tampa.
No kidding. But, so we're here, folks. We're winging it tonight. We didn't really put a topic out there. Right before Justin chimed in, a little nostalgic for the first time soon, depending on what happens with Stephanie McMahon. There'll be a Vince McMahon Everless Pro Wrestling. Am I saying that right? It'd be pro wrestling without a McMahon. That's how many years was he at the helm? I mean, he's been with the company.
Vince, well, he bought the company in 82, right? So,
he bought it, but he was with his dad for years before.
Oh,
that.
Yeah.
Since the early 70s.
Yeah. He was on air, I think, in 73, maybe. Or
yeah, I think you're right. He goes back as far as that. Yeah.
Hello, everybody. Vince McMahon, ringside.
Along with wrestling great.
I tell you what, though. I consider him one of the better announcers of all time.
Can y'all hear me?
I really enjoyed.
We can hear you.
We can hear you.
Can you hear me?
Yeah. Sound better. You do.
Why can't I hear you?
I don't know. Can you hear us now?
Can you hear us now?
You have Bluetooth?
We can hear you.
Can you hear me okay? Because I'm not getting you through your earbuds. You can hear me, but I can't hear you.
Ah, okay. There you are. So
I don't know enough about all this stuff.
Yeah. So we were just talking. There's going to be no Vince McMahon in the WWF soon, 100%. So we're just kind of going down memory lane. I mean, he's been with the company since the early 70s. He took over in 83 for his dad, bought the company from his dad then. So it's going to be kind of weird. I mean, I don't know. It's, you get a little melancholy over it because it's just like, I'm sure your dad went through it, Justin. He didn't have any, when Vince came along and scooped up all the territories. Yeah. You know, it's the people that you miss, right? The fans, the people.
Yeah, it's, there's a part when it becomes a little too much of a business.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I hear you. You know, you got to remember you're out to entertain fans, not take over as much plot of land as you can.
Right.
Yeah.
So, no, I hear you.
And I think that's been forgotten.
We're all old enough.
I like the old territories.
I was just going to say, we're all old enough to remember them and appreciate them. You know, in the very early 80s, Justin, we were very blessed up here in New England with cable TV coming because we got Georgia Wrestling on the Superstation. We got Southwest Wrestling from Texas, the Blanchard Group. We got World Class, the Von Erichs.
Yep.
We got some Mid-Atlantic. We just had just so much AWA eventually on ESPN. And It was really incredible with the territories, you know? Every territory kind of had a different flavor, a different culture of fans, a different presentation.
Well, and it made it special for the fans when someone would go to another territory for a couple of matches or a match or whatever.
Totally incredible.
My father, being world champion, he'd hit all the territories. I think I mentioned to y'all when we did that podcast the other night, on during the summer from, you know, May or whenever I was off to school till August when I had to go back.
Yeah.
So they'd buy a van and we'd just travel with him. And we went, it was always the East Coast for some reason in the summer. And we'd go everywhere from Florida on up the coast to New York. And
because everybody heads towards the water during the summer. That's why.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it.
But it's probably too hot in Texas, I would imagine, and out there. And the old AWA used to take that time off anyway. Not that you guys are in the AWA, but still, they used to take the summers off there. So wrestling in the Midwest slowed down.
Yeah. That's true. That's true.
You know, I know I shared this too with the After magazines. I educated myself on. I would know by the ring ropes, the barriers, which territory was which.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. You knew the Madison Square Garden.
That was when they set the ring up and broke it down after every show.
Yeah. I remember. I want to say it was your dad's territory. And
somehow
St. Louis.
Back then they didn't think to put mats around the edge of the ring. They didn't think crazy guys like my dad would be suplexing people on the concrete,
diving headbutts off the apron. Yeah, what have headbutt. You? Yeah,
crazy. Don't tell your mother.
Yeah, I won't. I promise.
Oh my God. So you know, that's how I educated myself. You know, that's how I learned all the different territories and so forth.
Well, like you were talking about the other day, it was mostly magazines. You'd read magazines.
Yeah.
Yep.
Find out what was going on in other places. Then when the guy actually showed up, you're like, holy crap, that guy's from whatever territory.
Yeah. Almost better than them sending vignettes or doing vignettes on TV. You got to read about it over the
years. I don't know if you guys remember, but I was a baseball or football that it used to be where the AFC and the NFC teams never played each other until like playoffs in the Super Bowl, so you kind of had a trigger. Was that Major League Baseball that was like that, or you know the teams that met in the
World Series
for were the first time. You know, an American baseball. And a National League team.
Yeah, that sounds like baseball, right, Benny?
Well, the AFC and the NFC merged, I think, in 1970 after
with the AFL NFL.
Yeah, the AFL.
Yeah. After the Jets beat the Baltimore.
But that's how the territories were. You know, everyone stayed in their zone.
Yep.
Except when they, you know, the special treat was for fans to get to see someone from another territory.
Yeah. But the great thing about that, because I was, you know, I was a fan from 68 on, and I remember, you know, I grew up in Long Island, New York, Justin, and I remember, you know, this guy coming in, and his name was Rocky Fitzpatrick, and the guy was absolutely unbeatable, plowed through everybody. It was actually Bob Orton Sr. We didn't know. How did we know? Because, you know, unless you were an avid magazine reader and they had, you know, you happen to catch an article about him, you know, you really didn't know. And I mean, they sold out the Garden, you know, Bruno beat him. He went back to, I guess, to Kansas City, maybe wherever he was wrestling, St. Louis. But yeah, you could do that back then. You could never do that now.
But no. George the Animal Steel was always George the Animal Steel wherever he went.
Well, he in Detroit, he was the student because he was a teacher.
I was going to say, do you all know what George the Animal Steel did before he wrestled?
Oh, yeah.
He was a football coach in high school, right, I think?
He was a computer science professor at MIT.
Oh jeez!
Oh, wow!
And he made more money eating turnbuckles.
And yeah, with there his, you go. There green you go. Tongue.
I think he did an Apple commercial in the '80s too. I think he did It's so easy; even an animal can use it. I think is what they, did.
No, but again, I'm old enough to remember.
Yeah, I got
to
step away for just a second, guys. I'll be right.
All right.
I'm sorry.
When George Steele first came to the WWWF. And late 68, early 69, his promos were actually very eloquent. And then, you know, the next time he came back, then he was a Neanderthal.
Yeah.
And it's funny. He cut some good promos.
Yeah. And it's funny because when George Steele came around when I was young, it was always during the summer and I couldn't figure it out.
Yeah.
You would think you'd figure that out, but.
You think he'd shave his back in the summer. My Lord, like a wool sweater.
Yep.
Needed a landscaper to do that for him, you know? Yeah.
That's a thankless job.
Yeah. But, I mean, really, really smart man. Very smart man.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
We got to meet him later in life, too. And, yeah, he took a lot of time to chat with us and he'd show us little magic tricks and stuff like that. And, like, one of the many, he found the Lord, like so many of the guys who, you know, come off the road and just the madness of the lifestyle. Just, you know,
Renee Koloff, Ivan's widow, said that Ivan and George were very close friends in faith.
Oh, really? Oh, wow.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's kind of ironic that Uncle Ivan and nephew Nikita both ended up doing the same thing, absolutely. You know?
Yeah.
It's amazingly prevalent. I mean, you get off the road and it's like an existential crisis. You're like, what does it all mean? You know, it's
after fooling the fans for so many years that the guild gets on you. So
I think that George Steele had the last laugh, though, because, you know, the guy had a master's degree and he was coaching high school football, probably making like $18,000 a year. And then, like, I'm sure he made insane money, like in the mid 80s.
Yeah, I'm sure.
When he was feuding with Randy Savage, I can only imagine what kind of money he was making then.
Well, he had the marketing, he had that little me toy, whatever, right. You know?
Mine.
That's what it was. Yeah. Right.
And the ice cream bars and all that stuff.
Yeah.
He was laughing all the way to the bank.
Sure.
Yeah. Jason Monick said George Steele was in Ed Wood. That's right. He was in the movie Ed Wood.
The story behind that is that somebody asked him, can you act? And it was Bill Murray said, are you kidding me? This man's a professional wrestler. He's been acting his whole life.
Yeah.
There you go. There
totally.
You go. Unbelievable. Oh, well. So, yeah. So that's what's going on tonight with WWE. How's the draft going? Do you see anything good happening on there, Phil?
No, I just saw Carmelo Hayes up there talking to somebody. Like Triple H came out and was with Cody, but it's like an old-fashioned movie. I don't have it. It's not a talkie tonight. It's I can only surmise. The closed captioning is off at the moment.
Now, supposedly they're going to have some legends do the draft.
Hey.
Yeah, there you are. No, Justin, where are you? You said you run a store? Is that what you said?
I own a couple of stores. And, sometimes you get calls where people can't come in or whatever, and so I kind of take over for them.
Oh, okay.
Normally, cool. I don't have to work much at all. I just own stores.
What kind of pizza you order? We're all hungry.
A place called Minsky's.
Minsky, yeah.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Would you get pepperoni?
I get sausage and double cheese, or I'll get like green peppers and jalapenos or something.
Whoa, man.
My God, Casey's Pizza is big around here.
Casey's Pizza.
It's gas station pizza. I don't know.
It's not bad.
Gas stations are on the rise with food, from what I understand. There's a place that's renowned here in Massachusetts. It's Gas Station Tacos, I guess. I haven't had them, but they're pretty good.
Some of the best food around here, believe it or not, not that I'm a proponent of it, whatever, is gas station. Some of the best tenderloins, gas station. Some of the best hamburgers, cheese from a gas station. I never understood it. I've been here 2.5 years now, and I'm still like, I will not. I can't. I just, there's something about it. That stigma of gas station food. Well, it's just like.
If Bucky's counts, they have superb food.
Oh, do they?
Oh, my God, yeah.
Where are they at? Where is that Bucky's, Florida?
I think there's.
Carolinas?
There's one. I found one in South Carolina.
Yeah.
I know there's one in Jacksonville. They're building them along the East Coast, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, I'm so used to New England style, New York style pizza, Phil.
Yeah, I hear you, man.
You would be in shock down here what they consider their cracker crust is like their big thing. And it's like Ritz cracker with tomato paste and some cheese on it. That's it.
Yeah.
No Chinese food.
I'm not getting any gas station sushi, though. Sorry.
Dude, I was going to say that, Benny. You're right on, man. They actually have that, too, which is crazy.
I'm going to pass on that.
You know where they sell the sushi at around here? It's Walmart. Oh, man. I don't know.
Crazy, even 7-Eleven here has good Cuban sandwiches, believe it or not.
Really?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah. Definitely. Wow. Yeah, we're talking gas station pizza, Justin. How do you like that?
You guys are making me hungry.
Yeah.
did your dad ever eat on the gas station route, or do you always go out to a restaurant?
No, we usually went to a restaurant. Like I was telling you the other night, it wrestlers kind of rule motto, whatever you want to call it, mantra, was you always ate a big meal at around 2 p.m.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So you always go.
Generally, that was traveling from one town to another.
Yeah.
Or if we, he liked to drive at night. So
yeah,
we'd often be in the next town already. And then sometime, you know, at breakfast and sometime mid-afternoon, about 2 o'clock, he'd want to have a big meal. He was adamant about it too.
Yeah.
You know, keep him away from eating then, because he didn't want to eat too late and too close to him.
Yeah.
Can't wrestle an hour on a full stomach.
No way, man. Bad. No, that's bad for the heart, bad for everything.
Justin, one question I forgot to ask you. When you travel with your dad, do you remember the worst crowd ever? And if so, where were they? Like the most.
The worst crowd ever.
The worst crowd. Like they're very hostile. Well, very.
I mean, there were similarities in all the crowds in the arena.
Right.
But coming out of those, and I might have mentioned this to you before, I can't remember. Coming out of an arena, I especially remember, I think it was in Greensboro.
Right.
And Dad did his normal pick thing with the hair and whatever for an hour. And when we locked out, there was still 1,000-something people out there.
Wow.
Jeez.
And they had to, the police had to surround us with their riot shields and hold the riot shields over our heads to get us to the car. And you could hear rocks and whatever hitting these riot shields.
Oh my Lord.
And I was just like, really? I mean, you know, then it was kind of cool, but kind of scary.
Oh yeah.
Back, it's like, come on, this is wrestling. It's a sport. And you all are throwing rocks at an 8-year-old.
That way.
I mean, you don't see that after a Major League Baseball game.
No.
That sounds like to me your dad would get in the car and tell you, I guess I did my job tonight pretty good.
Yeah. That's right. You know? My mom's like, Harley, look at him. She's yelling at him. He's like, hey, that's what I'm here to do.
That's what I do.
They hate me. That's great.
Jason said there's a Shell station by his house that sells boarhead's meat.
Really?
Oh, my God. Yeah.
It's good stuff.
Unbelievable.
Huh.
All right. Well, Justin.
I like pizza, like by home, like mom and pop pizzas. Whatever. I'm not a big Pizza Hut, you know, this type of.
Right thing. On.
Yeah. I'm New England style. I like it. I follow Dave Portnoy on Barstool Sports. He does the pizza. Yep. He goes around and tastes everybody's pizza.
Oh yeah, yeah. Do you know him?
What's that?
You know Dave?
Do I? I don't know. Not personally. Oh, okay. No. I know of him. He's a Massachusetts guy. He's a Mass guy.
Yeah, he's a good guy. I like him.
Yeah. El Presidente. No. He's the actual El Presidente there.
Yeah.
He's got the new May the Force be with you shirts out last night after our draft.
Oh, that's right. That's coming up, man. Boy, it's
I don't know about that draft pick or whatever. It'll be interesting to see what happens this year. So,
Joe, you let your accent out a second ago. You said pizza.
For the pizza. I hear his accent every time he says Holly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, Justin, since you're from out west there and you hear us all and we're all kind
west.
Of well, where is it? mid west. Central, you know.
Yeah.
Well, west of us. Yeah. Everything's west of us.
Yeah.
But you hear an accent in Joe. Do you hear one in me or in Benny?
I don't hear one in you, and I haven't heard him talk enough.
I'm originally from New York, but I've lived in Florida for the last 20 years. I did live in Blue Springs, Missouri for 4 years.
Oh, did you really? Yeah, that's not far away.
Blue Springs.
I think, or at least we look at it, people in the Midwest don't really have an accent.
No.
Right.
You've got the Southern draw, you've got the Northeastern accent.
Yep.
California, I don't know what the heck they're talking about. But
they don't know either.
You take the Calabasas to the Verdeo. And,
But we're kind of in fact, Gordon Solie.
Yeah.
Yes. Old ring announcer.
My favorite would be
a good ring announcer and whatever, or a commentator, because I don't have an accent to my voice. It's just.
There you go.
I'll tell you what, your dad, Justin and Gordon Solie, when they combined on an interview, that was absolute gold. When your dad would sit at the desk with Gordon and they'd have the screen in the background and they were breaking down a match. It had the legitimacy of the seventh game of the World Series.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
It's really
Georgia Championship Wrestling or All-Star Wrestling or whatever
Florida, it was. Florida, too.
That banner.
believe it or not, Gordon Solie was my favorite wrestler, wrestling announcer.
Oh, yeah.
Was he?
I tuned in every when I got cable of my home, 6:05 to 8:05 every Saturday night.
Never missed it, man. Never missed it. We never did.
You know my favorite word that I like to use from Gordon Solie, the souffle. The souffle.
Gut wrench salto. I love that.
Did you all ever hear of an announcer here in the Midwest, Bill Kirkston?
That sounds familiar.
The Hello Wrestling fan guy?
Yeah. It sounds
familiar. He did All-Star Wrestling for years. He was a nice guy.
Nice.
But yeah, that was his thing. The gentleman, I can't think of his name, that let's get ready to rumble.
Oh, Michael Buffer.
Yep.
Bill Kirkston was like that. In fact, they made a documentary about him, and that's what it was called. It was Hello Wrestling Fans. He was like the gold, in soccer. Hey, Wrestling Fans.
Justin, did your dad have a favorite announcer that he liked?
I actually do think he liked Gordon.
Okay.
Yeah, they've
awesome. Been together for so many years.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
I think from before me.
Yeah. Now, I meant to ask you, when that ride thing happened, when you were leaving the arena that you said, how old were you then? When
seven, eight, nine, somewhere in there. Not a toddler, but not yet a teenager.
That wasn't traumatizing to you at all, or?
I was short, small, and so sure. I was underneath all of this. I heard stuff hitting. I didn't really know what was hitting at the time. Yeah. Dad told me later.
Yeah.
But it was kind of neat, I guess, to be surrounded. I mean, you see like a president or whatever surrounded by these Secret Service guys everywhere he's going. So you kind of feel like special, I guess.
Yeah.
And not really akin to the danger that you're in.
Well, kids are invincible
anyway. Later, dad would tell me when we get in the car and we drive on, he'd tell me what was going on. But even then, it didn't matter too much because I was too young. And I got older and I'm like, my gosh, that was crazy.
Awesome.
It's the crowd mentality, too. And that's why when a whole bunch of people are swarmed together, they do things that they normally wouldn't do if you saw them individually or just one or two of them,
Yeah.
It's that courage of the crowd.
There was a movie, Men in Black. When he told Will Smith, when they were talking about the existence of aliens, and he said, a person is smart, people are dumb.
Nah, there you go.
One person
can be a rational human being, but you get a big group of them, like you were saying, and you get riots and all that.
Absolutely. Kind of stuff. When you think about it, when you think about sports teams who win and the fans, instead of just, enjoying themselves and having a beer and whatever, they're up tipping over cars and lighting fires. It gets
mob mentality. Yeah.
Yeah.
You have to be in college for that.
Yeah.
Hey,
Justin. Don't do that over pro sports. They do that in college.
Jason Moaning had a quick question for you. Did your dad take you to a lot of Chiefs games?
We were season ticket holders.
Oh, nice.
In fact, here's a funny story. God, I have thought about this forever. my mom and I were in church and Dad was flying into the airport, and I guess we were going to go pick him up and go right to the Chiefs game or something like that. I was really young. But right in the middle of the service, the ushers come in and whisper something to my mom and take her out of the service.
Uh-oh.
And everyone, of course, in the church knew my dad did, and they thought that maybe he had been in a plane crash or something, because all the ushers gathered around her and took her out, like not only physical but emotional support.
Sure, yeah.
And she got on the phone, right? And she was in the choir too. So, she wasn't like, she was noticed when she left.
Yeah.
And she picks up the phone. Hello. My dad said, "You have a windbreaker for me?" Basically shuts down a church service because he just wanted to make sure she had a jacket for him.
Oh, goodness. Unbelievable.
Harley, are you really calling?
And they pulled her out of that for that, huh? They pulled her out of there.
There was two other rather large gentlemen that went to our church, and all of my dad, the other two gentlemen, their wives sang in the choir. So we'd sit on that side of the church, 500 members or so, to be next to, be next to your mother and your wife, whatever, or within 10, 15, 20 feet. And the pastor back then, he when he'd see it, he'd look out and doing some, he'd realize what was going on, or he'd realize that all
And he'd say, does everyone notice the church tilting a bit to the left today? And everyone would start laughing because they knew that the two guys and my dad were all at the service and all sitting on one side of the church. And pastor would like,
awesome. Well, guys, I think we're going to wrap it up. We've gone well over our allotted time, believe it or not.
We always do, don't we?
Justin, thank you so much for popping on, man. I know you're busy doing what you're doing. So.
Yeah, great. Hey, thanks for letting me know you were going to be on. I look forward to it.
We kind of put this all together last minute. There was supposed to be another show that I was going to produce, but that guest canceled. So Mike said, go ahead and put this one back on. So I did last minute, and I'm glad you were able to join us, man.
Yeah, very cool.
Thank you.
Yep. Any minute's a good minute, whether it's the last or the first.
Yeah, we'll have you back on. We're not going anywhere. Right. You know, we're going to hook up and all that stuff. So that'd be great. I want to thank everybody in the chat for toughing it out with us. I know SmackDown's on and people are watching the draft and so forth, but we're going to head on out of here. And we got some exciting news coming up next week with the new game show. I'm sure Mike's going to have some stuff on that. So I know, Justin, I'm the last official The 30 champion now that they canceled the show. So
we're never going to hear the end of that now, are we?
We have a new game show coming along.
And the shortest reigning now, too. The briefest title reign. Yeah.
Look up like Drew McIntyre, what, five minutes and 36 seconds?
Yep.
There you go. All right, folks. You guys have a great weekend. Stay
tuned.
Thanks, Justin. Take care, man. Benny?
Phil, Josh. We'll see you guys. Chat, have a good night. I'm Joe Lowry. What a day.
What a day.